The legacy of apartheid hangs over our next report, which comes from the South African city of Johannesburg. Almost 20 years after racial segregation officially came to an end in the newly dubbed Rainbow Nation, South African society still divides along lines of wealth and colour. Nowhere is that divide more visible than in Johannesburg's transport system. Whilst a luxurious high-speed train serves the predominantly white residents of its chic northern suburbs, the majority of black South Africans are forced to use collective minibus taxis. Our white reporter, Dagmar Wittek, decided to hitch a ride.
I'm on a four-lane main road of Johannesburg, 10 minutes foot walk away from my house. The traffic is fast and hectic, and I have no idea how to get to town. People standing alongside the road are signalling with cryptic hand signs, one finger up or two like the peace sign. I ask a girl how to get to the main train station.
Then you have to wait for a taxi. Then you have to wait there at the bus stop. You just point your finger up. You have to get off from one bus street, then I'll show you the way, don't worry.
Oh, super. It doesn't happen so often that white people take a taxi.
Yeah, huh? It's rare, eh? Because they're scared to go outside. They say it's too much crime.
And they're not wrong. Johannesburg's crime stats state that there are more than 300 robberies, thefts and assaults every day in downtown Johannesburg. So most whites, who only make 9% of the population, and due to better education and the legacy of apartheid, hold most of the country's wealth, they rather take their own car as well as stay away from the inner city. Also, hardly anyone knows how to handle the hand signs.
It's not too much signs. It's only three signs that you need to know. It's uptown, and down it's local, and five it's wanderers.
Okay.
Oh, there's a taxi coming. Just point up.
What? Up?
Yeah,
like
just,
this?
Yeah, point up, and then you just tell him we're going to wanderers.
That's okay. Where he's going to
wanderers.
Wanderers?
Wanderers. Okay, yeah,
it's a slow passage in the stop-and-go traffic with a lot of sudden, abrupt manoeuvres. Taxi drivers here are well known for their reckless driving. Every day one can read in the newspapers about tragic accidents, often with several fatalities. There's no functioning road traffic authority, and the taxis are often makeshift vehicles on four wheels.
Now we are in town. You have to be streetwise. You check your cell phone. You have to put it inside your bag, because otherwise they'll take it. We're getting off.
Lots of people, blaring music, street vendors with sunglasses, thongs and hats for sale. My companion urges me at least three more times to check my phone and bag. Holding on tight to my belongings, I'm wondering how long I'll have to brave the chaos and hectic traffic in which pedestrians definitely don't have the right of way.
But then again, you have to stand here.
I can feel eyes checking me out, the only white person in this hustle and bustle. I'm intimidated. After all, I've already had a pistol on my forehead at one of these ventures into town, and in a split second my cell phone was gone. 50% of all South Africans live below the poverty line. You can be murdered for a cell phone or a nice bag. A survival tip from Joburg insiders: walk purposefully and pretend to know where you're going. I stick to that. I made it. I can take a deep breath. At the main train station, there are security guards in bright yellow safety jackets. Furthermore, there are surveillance cameras, all part of the city's attempts to control crime. Nevertheless, although there are improvements, every day four people are murdered in Johannesburg. Last leg of my excursion via public transport. To get home, I'll try to catch a bus. There's an elderly white lady waiting at the bus stop.
Public transport's terrible in this country. I won't take a taxi.
No.
My friend took a taxi. She puts her foot, as she climbs in, she went right through the floorboard. No, I won't take taxis. No ways.
I wonder why this lady ventured into town. Her friends call her crazy, she admits, but
I do shopping there. You wow. Can see the prices. Unbelievable. Prices were excellent.
A third of what you pay in the shopping centres of the predominantly white northern suburbs. The bus arrives.
Once to Gandhi Square, please.
I'm 27.
Let's see, maybe I've got
You said 70?
970.
I've got 50 if you want that, if that helps.
Nice.
South Africa is one of the most unequal countries in the world, a recent World Bank study showed. Whites, on average, earn 6 times more than blacks. Under white segregationist rule, black South Africans were disadvantaged by poor education that confined many to unskilled and low-paying jobs. One legacy of apartheid today is that 29% of the black population is unemployed, whereas it's only 6% of the white population that hasn't got a job. Nevertheless, more and more white South Africans feel the pinch of higher living expenses. I meet another white lady who regularly takes the bus. As petrol and food prices have increased immensely in the last few years, she tries to save money and rather endures regular bus ordeals.
It's often a nightmare. Buses don't turn up, they break down regularly, windows are broken. Technically, they're in a terrible condition. Really, really terrible. And I think in the last month, we broke down 6 times, either because of no petrol or water. And one of the buses, we almost crashed because the brakes didn't work.
I must say, it doesn't feel very safe the way the bus labours up a hill and keeps on pulling to one side when braking. I decide to get off. A 15-minute walk later, I arrive at the bus stop right in front of my door, for which I unfortunately didn't hop on the right bus. Nevertheless, I didn't get lost, was not run over, nor was I robbed. I survived the murderous city jungle of Johannesburg by public transport.